May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. 1097.
Oh, From the Holy Word of God, we will read in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, the first chapter in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who hath forsaken me, and have burnt incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Thus saith the word of the Lord. May he help us now in prayer. Almighty, most gracious, ever blessed, ever merciful, all holy Lord God Almighty, do help us now by faith to draw nigh unto thee, to come to the throne of grace, to the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, there with that privilege once more to call upon thy great and holy name, knowing that thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Hast thou not said, call upon me in the day of trouble? I will hear thee. Thou shalt glorify me. So, Lord, we would come for this day in which we live. In many senses, is a day of trouble to us. And our troubles begin within, for we are sinners before a thrice holy God. As the word declares, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this we have to say, I have sinned. I have trespassed against thy holy commands. Within me, within my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. We have nothing, O Lord, to bring. Nothing can we plead but the blood and righteousness, the merits of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. The apostle speaks of this being a faithful saying and worthy of all our acceptation, that we might receive it. And therefore, it is the gospel for sinners. And O Lord, that we might plead mercy through blood. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, we would acknowledge that goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our lives. As we look back over the years and record thy great goodness toward us, for we are yet found upon praying ground. Thou hast not cast us off, despite our hardness of heart and our unbelief so often. But, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless us this day as we are favoured once more to enter into thine earthly courts. May it be with praise and with thanksgiving for thy goodness and for thy mercy's sake. Lord, may it be to us a house of prayer and the gate of heaven. Lord, we thank thee for mercies past. We thank thee for all the benefits that we freely enjoy, thy goodness that is poured upon us in so many ways. We have much to be thankful for. And yet, O Lord, we are so often prone to murmur against thee, to bring forth our complaints. We are but fickle creatures, we confess. Lord, we are in ourselves empty of any spiritual thing. But oh, that thou wilt come by thy blessed Spirit today. Make thy presence known and found. Help us to feel that thou art near and that thou wilt come and bless. Oh, do strengthen our faith, we pray, that we may trust in thee at all times and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways to acknowledge thee, and thou shalt direct our paths. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt bless thy church in this latter day. Build once more the walls of Jerusalem. Strengthen the things that remain, the things that be ready to die. For we live in perilous times, as the days go darker and darker. And yet, O Lord, thy people are led through grace to the glorious light of the gospel of thy goodness. And oh, that we might read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest these things to the good of our never-dying souls. Our Lord, that we may read our title clear, that we may know that it is well with us whilst we live, and well if called to die. O Lord, thou knowest how each one has approached thy house this day. The prayers that are being offered up do hear, and those that are come, O Lord, without a forethought or without desire, we pray that thy arrow may go forth into the hearts of the king's enemies, convince them of their sin, and lead them to the precious blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May mighty things be accomplished in thy name, for thou art a mighty God, and nothing is too hard for thee. But, O Lord, we need thee. We need thy help. We need strength to be given. We need understanding of thy glorious truths. O Lord, do pour in that one may pour out this day. May thy word not return unto thee void, but accomplish that wherein it doth please thee. And Lord, we know that under the preaching of the gospel, the word is a savour of life unto life, or of death unto death. And it is exceedingly solemn when we consider how many left unconcerned about the way of salvation, who know nothing of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he has done upon the face of this earth. Lord, as doubtless there are many that pass by, is it nothing to you, O ye that pass by? Lord, that we might see those constrained to enter in, those that will come with a case and a condition, those that will come with a need and a concern, those that will come pleading for mercy, Lord, that they may find here a home among the people of God. May they be encouraged to hearken unto the things of God. May there be something, O Lord, even this day, that will enter into the ears of one and another. O Lord, we know that we so often feel that we labour in vain and spend our strength for naught. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? But the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, that we may be found among that number. May I numbered with them be, now and through eternity. We pray for the church here, that thou hast established these many years. And we're thankful that there is a witness in this town and in this area. And pray, O Lord, that it may be a witness for good unto many. Our Lord, do strengthen them and bind them together. May they find that fellowship in the gospel. As we read, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And it wasn't idle gospel, but rather they spake of what the Lord had done for their never-sighing souls. They spake of the glory of their great Emmanuel. They spake of all thy goodness and mercy that has been with them and helped them and strengthened them day by day. Lord, we pray for each one then that is gathered, that thou wilt bless them in their souls and do them good this day. May they hear something to profit. May there be a word in season for their never-dying souls. May they be encouraged in the things of God, helped in all their affairs, guided in all their ways. And if any have come with a case, with a burden, with a concern, Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet with it. For thou art able, for thou knowest the secret of every heart. Man can only look at the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart. And Lord, thou dost search and try thy people to know what is in them. Lord, we are ashamed at times what lies within our thoughts and our feelings. We pray that thou wilt remember thy people in their afflictions, sicknesses, and sorrows. Lord, we can only say, behold what sin hath wrought. O thou hideous monster sin, what a plague hast thou brought in? All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. And we see it, O Lord, in the world, in the hospitals and in the homes, and among many, that the wages of sin is death. Our Lord, that we might know that thou art with us, that thy promise is toward us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that even down to hoar hairs I am he. O Lord, do bless us then. May we feel that help to be given, that help of God in continuing. We would remember each in their generation, especially bless and remember the young ones, the little ones, as they come into the house of God and doubtless do not understand many of the things that are set before them. But oh, may they have a savour of the things of God. May there be something oppressed upon their young minds that will carry with them. And those that are growing in age, those in youth and in the early years of life, do bless them and keep them. Lord, we feel in the day in which we live especially, they need to be kept. Our Lord, they cannot keep themselves. Their parents cannot keep them. Others cannot keep them. The ministers cannot keep them. But thou art able to keep them. And we pray, O Lord, that it may please thee thus to do. Remember the young families, the mothers and the fathers. Do bless them, that they may bring up their children aright in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And do help them, O Lord, in the difficulties which doubtless ensue from time to time, that they may look to thee for all needed help and all needed wisdom in all the affairs of life. Remember those who are in the midst of life and bear the heat and burden of the day. O, do bless them. May they be in the world but not of the world. May they be an example for good unto others, to show how Christians ought to live. Remember those in older age who are coming toward the end of the journey. We pray that it may be light at eventide. Remember those that are dying. We especially remember some of the aged ministers of our causes. O Lord, do be with them to the end. May it be, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Oh, may we have a view of glory, a glimpse within the veil. May we see the beauty of Emmanuel's land as the Queen of Sheba came, hearing tell of the glories of Solomon and the wonders of his kingdom. So, Lord, we see a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious King of kings and Lord of lords, the sovereign ruler over all things. Lord, that we may bow to his command and look to him alone and long for that time when we shall be found in his presence without the veil between, to sing his wondrous praise forever and forever. Our Lord, do then be with us this day. Bless the Sunday school and the work that is carried on. Bless those that seek to do good in the world and among the young people especially. Lord, we realise that there is another generation growing up who shall take our place. Or may they be equipped for the day of thy visitation. May the Lord be praised. Lord, we know that the days are fast hastening toward their conclusion. The apostle spake of the latter days upon this earth, and surely we are living in the very last times. We know not when that day will come, but all to be prepared. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thou must all the work perform, for it is all of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. So hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. We plead every mercy, the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 212. Why does your face, ye humble souls, those mournful colours wear? What doubts are these that try your faith and nourish your despair? 212.
Dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help. I would direct your prayerful attention this morning to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 2, and three words, especially in verse 2. And those three words are, I remember thee. The whole verse reads, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. Jeremiah was called to be a minister of the gospel, to preach the glorious truth of God's holy word. But as Jeremiah found, and all the Lord's servants find, who is sufficient for these things? But the Lord says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. We see there the wonderful sovereignty of God, his eternal purposes that will be performed throughout the ages of time. We look at the world, we consider the confusion that is all about us, but God is working his purposes out. And there is a people that will be called by grace divine to rise up and to serve the Lord. As I said before, who is sufficient for these things? But our sufficiency is of God. It's not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory given. And so Jeremiah recognizes his weakness and his inability in and of himself. Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto him, say not that I am a child, because the Lord had raised him up to a work that would not prove to be easy. As we think of the Apostle Paul, when the Lord called him to the work of the preaching of the gospel, the Lord said to Ananias, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so it is a pathway of tribulation that the children of God must come. We all in our measure know something of the trials and tribulations of this life. But here is Jeremiah, a prophet among his own people in Anathoth. And the Lord calls him to go to Jerusalem. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. You can only imagine how it must have been for one like Jeremiah to come out of that quiet situation and to be thrust into the ministry of God's word in the midst of the great city of Jerusalem, and there to speak words that the people, for the most part, did not want to hear, because this people is a rebellious people, hard-hearted, unbelieving. But nevertheless, Jeremiah is called to preach unto the Lord's people, unto God's elect, to those who were chosen before the foundation of this world, chosen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his disciples. And it is a great work that is ever needed until the earth be no more. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord. How needful it is in every generation that the Lord raises up those who will go forth with the thus saith the Lord. We preach not ourselves, says the apostle, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. This is a ministry which the Lord calls his servants to, not to declare their own feelings or their own desires, but rather to preach the whole counsel of God, to make known the way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, this people are a rebellious people. As I say, hard-hearted, unbelieving. Yet, nevertheless, the Lord would have Jeremiah to go and preach the word to them. As we look upon ourselves, as we look into our own hearts, what do we find there? Are we great people? Are we perfect? Are we without offense? Do we not find that within is a plague of sin, a hard and obdurate heart, full of unbelief? Then if the Lord should cut us off, what can we say? Is the Lord not justified in all his actions, in all his ways? Sadly, we live in a time where man thinks that he can worship and come to God in which, whatever way he wants, that he can accept the Lord Jesus. And we hear so much of that throughout the Western world, that man has an ability. He has some power in and of himself to come whenever he pleases, whenever he will, and accept Christ. My friends, there is nothing in you or I that will ever turn us to to the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from free and sovereign grace, we must perish eternally. Then, if the Lord should command his servants to speak a word of condemnation unto the people, would it not be justified? Would not the Lord's servants come? The prophet here is told to fear not the faces of the people, but to speak whatever the Lord would have him to speak, whatever the Lord commands him, speak unto the people. But of course the Lord's servants do fear. It's not an easy thing to preach the gospel, especially where we know that there are those that have a hatred to the things of God. And we find that more and more in the day in which we live. That person wants to close up their ears against any such thing. But the Lord did not give unto Jeremiah at this point a word of condemnation, but rather a word of encouragement. I remember thee. What a mercy if we can say today that the Lord remembers us, that the Lord knows us, that the Lord has called us by our names. It is a great wonder. Why me? Why should I be made to hear his voice and enter whilst his room, while thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? You see, there never is and there never will be anything in us to recommend us to God. As I mentioned before, within us, within our flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Full of corruption, full of sin, full of shame. Our hearts are hardened against the gospel. Unless the Spirit of God is pleased to come and break through and make an entrance there. Thus saith the Lord. And oh, that there may be those that will hear the voice of the Lord today. I remember thee. How does the Lord remember his people? He sees them ruined in the fall, yet loves them not withstanding all. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, because of this, in loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do we have any drawings toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a change that has taken place in our lives? Are we different today than we were at some time? Have old things passed away and all things become new? Are we new creatures in Christ Jesus the Lord? This is a great thing. Where there is no changes in our lives, no great change made, we remain exactly the same. We are in a perishing condition. We are fast hastening down that road to everlasting shame. But the Lord remembers his people. All that the Father giveth me, said the Lord Jesus, shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And so there is a time when the Lord begins his work in the hearts of his people. The Lord works differently in one to another. Not everyone has the same experience. We read sometimes, and it is wonderful to read of the accounts of the saints of old, their experience in being brought out of nature's darkness into Christ's most marvellous light. But we may not experience what they experience. Ours may be entirely different, because we're all different creatures. We all have different circumstances. We are all brought up in different ways. Some are in the world and of the world. And the Lord needs to bring these, his people, into his church. Others, perhaps, are brought up under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, and probably most of you here are in that category. You've heard the gospel preached week by week throughout the days of your lives. But have you become gospel hardened? Do you hear these things and yet not hear them? Do they pass over you or pass through you and have no effect? Oh, how we need to consider the wonderful privilege that is ours today. Being found in the house of God under the preaching of the gospel. You know, you can go outside and you can go to the towns and cities of this nation, and there are countless thousands, yea, millions, who have no regard for the Lord's day, no regard for the Lord's word, and no regard for the Lord himself. Their hearts are hardened in unbelief. They have no thoughts of eternity. What a solemn thing to live without God and without hope in the world. And such were some of you, says the apostle, but ye are washed. What do we know then of the Lord's work begun in our hearts? Because it is a great mercy. He who hath begun a good work in you shall perform it, shall complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. There will be a performance of these things. We cannot remain in the same condition if we are the Lord's people. The Lord will come and make himself known. I remember thee. The Lord knew us as he knew Jeremiah when he was in the womb of his mother. The Lord knew him when he came forth out of the womb as a babe, a young child, growing up into life, into manhood. The Lord knew him, and the Lord's eternal purposes were fixed toward him. And whatever might happen in the world, those purposes can never be overturned, because we have a sovereign God who is all-powerful. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. Am I speaking to some here this morning that know something of these words, who understand that time of love, that time of espousal, when the Lord drew them with the cords of a man, with the cords of love, drew them to himself. What a glorious time when the Lord first begins in our hearts, softens and makes us tender in his fear, gives us loving desires toward him, so that we could leave this world and all behind, husband, wife, parents, children, all things here below. And the great plea was, give me Christ, or else I die. Christ became everything to us. Our desires were ever toward him. Our longings are to be found in the house of God whenever the services were there, wherever we could find the word of God, or wherever we could communicate with the people of God. There we love to be. We love to hear the gospel preached. We love to hear the word of God declared, whether under the preaching or privately in company with those also who love the Lord. And we couldn't understand those who did not join with us, who did not empathize with us. It seems strange to us that they could not enter into our joy. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espouses, when thou went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not so. This world became a wilderness to us. What was there here? And we think in the context of this chapter of the children of Israel being brought out of the land of Egypt. And when was that? When the people began to pray unto the Lord. The Lord raises up Moses to be their deliverer. Again, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, to meet the needs of the people, he brought them forth with a high and a mighty hand, bringing the plagues upon the house of Pharaoh. There he brings them to the Red Sea, that they might cross. And no way was found. And the people began to murmur. The Lord said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord that thou wilt see today. And it is at times we are brought to the edge of the water. We cannot go right hand or left hand. There seems no way forward. What can we do? And the Lord in his sovereign purposes makes a way through the water so that the children of Israel went through on dry land. I remember thee. The Lord remembered his people there in the land of Egypt, all those generations. Yet there was a time appointed by God when they should come forth out of the land. The Lord never is before his time, and he never is too late. We need to remember that in the Lord's dealings in providence with us and in grace, how that the Lord has a time for everything and everything in its time. And we cannot hasten that time, and that time will never be delayed. As the Lord speaks through his servant Habakkuk, that we are to wait that time. We are to wait the Lord's purposes. The going may seem hard. Life may become difficult. There may be many obstacles in the way. And we realize that it is a waste howling wilderness that we have to pass through. And we need patience. And the Lord giveth patience unto his people. But by nature, we, like the children of Israel, are very impatient. We want everything now. And we live in an age and generation but everything has to happen immediately, or else we're not satisfied. But sometimes we have to wait. And some of you may know what it is to wait upon the Lord in prayer. Mine's an urgent, pressing case, but nevertheless, the Lord waits that he might be gracious unto you. The Lord will exercise his people in their ways. And so the Lord makes a way for them. and they see the wonderful works of the Lord. They could not have imagined such a way opening up before them. But with God, nothing shall be called impossible. He can make a way where there is no way. And if anyone has come to what they feel to be a dead end, that everything seems hopeless and they're helpless, it is the Lord's way of demonstrating that they stand in need of him. We have to trust in the Lord at all times and lean not to our own understanding. We have recorded the song of Moses and of Miriam as they had passed through the water and seen their enemies drown as the water returned upon Pharaoh and his chariots. And then they come into the wilderness, and the Lord tests and tries his people. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. The Lord tries his people in many different ways. And here in the wilderness he tries his people, that their water bottles are empty, they are thirsty, and they are perishing there in the wilderness. And what do? They murmur again. They look back to Egypt. It was better there. They forget the troubles that they had in the land and the heavy bondage that was upon them. But rather they look back to the good things that they remembered of Egypt. And they forget the wonderful work that the Lord has done in bringing them into the land. And so the Lord brings them to Marah. There is water. Can you imagine? So thirsty, so in need of water, lest they die. And here they see Marah before them. How with joy they must have rushed upon the scene, only to find that they could not drink of the water. Ah, how the Lord tries our faith. And it is in the trial of our faith that we prove whether we have any faith or not. You know, we hear of so many today that go along nicely in the world, comfortably, without any troubles seemingly, and everything seems plain sailing to them. But this is not the way of the Lord's people. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if we are without chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons. And so we should acknowledge that trials will come into our lives. And we have to learn that secret of patience. It's not with us naturally, but the Lord is able to give it. We are to trust in the Lord that he will do all things well. All things work together for good, says the apostle, to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. What a mercy if we can look back to the Lord's time when he delivered us out of the bondage of sin, brought us into the liberty of the gospel, made us willing in the day of his power to follow him, to take up our cross daily that we might follow him, and follow him in all his ways. I remember thee. Sometimes it seems in our experience that God has forgotten us, that we walk in darkness and not in light. And as one has said, the child of God walks more in darkness than he does in light. And some prove that to be true. But nevertheless, although we cannot see God, God can see us. Did not Job come into that experience? He looked this way and that way. He looked everywhere. But he came to this conclusion. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so Moses is directed to cast a tree into the water to make the water sweet. What a precious gospel we have. What a beautiful illustration is given there. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of his people Israel. To know that this God is our God. Forever and ever he will be our guide, even unto death. When they were hungry, the Lord provided for them this miraculous food that came down from heaven, the bread of life, the quails to satisfy them, even though through their ill temper. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, they do always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. And yet their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes did not wear out. The Lord provided for them. They lacked nothing in reality all that journey through. Until the Lord brought them into the promised land. The Lord had promised them a portion. There is a portion for his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Sometimes the Lord takes his people early in life. At other times it is a long sojourn in the land. But nevertheless, the promises of God in Christ Jesus are always and ever yea and amen. I remember thee. And so all that journey through, those 40 long years in the wilderness, and even when they came into the promised land, the Canaanites yet dwell in the land. And the Lord was with them. I remember thee. You know, the Lord's people, are we the same now as we were at the beginning? As we look back upon those halcyon days, and we think perhaps we might give the illustration of marriage. The man and the woman come together. There is a wonderful happiness, a blessed time, a honeymoon period. And there is a great love, a great drawing, a great attraction one toward another. How much more so with the child of God, drawn, attracted to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. A love that knows no limits nor bounds. A love that is genuine. A love that stands. A love which will conquer all things. What a mercy then to know these things naturally. But what a much greater mercy to know them spiritually. To know that time of love, those days which were so blessed to us, when, as I said before, we could leave this world and all behind to be with Christ, which is far better. But the days have passed on. Are we the same now as we were then? Or have we hardened in sin and in unbelief? Have we backslidden? Are those days, yes, fond memories behind us, but are they the same now? Do we have that same, if I might use the word, enthusiasm toward the Lord Jesus Christ, that same desire to be found ever in his presence, to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are we following in the same way as we did then? Are we still in the time of love? Or have the days come upon us? Dreary, sometimes wintry days. Have these things had an effect? Are we backslidden? Has the world become more important to us? The things, the affairs of this life taken some precedence among us? We need to be honest with ourselves and before God. Ah, how easy it is to lose our first love. If you read Bunyan's Holy War, these things didn't happen immediately. They happened little by little. There wasn't a realization that our prayers were not the same as once they were. Our great desire for the things of God, not the same. How solemn to think that we could come into such a condition. And yet if we look through the history of the Word of God, we find it time and again. We find it in the sins of David. And I've often thought, when that child was born, and those days before when it was carried in the womb, and David's prayer for that child, yet it seemed as though David was somewhat oblivious of the great sin that he had committed. And it wasn't until the Lord directed Nathan the prophet to come into David to point that finger of accusation, "Thou art the man," that it really came to David's notice in that most powerful way. And then he could see his fault and his failing. It revived him. It brought him back to God. It brought him on his knees to humble confession. "Lord, I have sinned." We can say, "I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son." Do we know anything of those things? Do we know something of the hardness of our heart? Do we know what it is at times, in situations, to be full of unbelief? This is a pathway. We forget God, but God never forgets his people. "I remember thee." And what a mercy it is. You see, a free will religion means that the person has to keep up, as it were, their faith in God. They are dependent upon themselves. And what flesh is able to keep themselves? We may know by solemn experience that we cannot keep ourselves. But you see, true religion is not of us. It is of God from beginning to ending. He is the author, he is the instigator of all that is true. It is he that who hath begun a good work in you will perform it. There will be a performance of these things. There will be a glorious conclusion, because we are safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never let his people go. Wherever they may wander, he will bring them back. Like the prodigal that we just referred to. See how he left his father's home. How he wanted his fill of the world. And what did he find? He found that the world was a hostile place. It held nothing for him. While he was an advantage to them, they accepted him. But as soon as that advantage had gone, they rejected him. The world will ever reject the Lord's people. They have no desire for a true religion. But God will lay in the hearts of his people that which is upright and honest and true. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, believing that the Lord is able to keep us, to keep our souls at last, to bring us to glory, to be with Christ forever and forever. This is the glorious prospect of a child of God. What is this world? It is but a travelling stage. It is a pathway that we have to endure until that glorious time when we're released, either by the hand of death or by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember thee. And it is a wonderful thing that the Lord ever remembers his people. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou so disquieted within me? Trust thou in God. I remember thee. The Lord remembers his people at all times and in every situation. There is never a time when the Lord forsakes or forgets his people. We sometimes sing the hymn, don't we? Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bare? Solemnly, as we read from time to time the neglect of children, how sometimes these children are rejected of their mothers, and what solemn things they have to pass through. We see the heart of man that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Can a woman's tender care cease toward the child she bear? Yes. Yes, she may be forgetful, but the Lord ever remembers his people. And here is our confidence. We have no confidence in the flesh, but we may have confidence in our God. For our Jesus hath done all things well. And it is his eternal purpose to gather together his church in one. One in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. And it is a great blessing to be found in the church of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. The Lord never promised his people an easy pathway. He never said that they would waft on a downy pillow into heaven. No, we have to experience certain things in life as the Lord sees fit to bring them upon us. And it's good for us that we should experience these things. The psalmist David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. We cannot see in our afflictions. And if you've known anything of bodily affliction, of sickness, weakness, infirmities of the flesh, you know it is a great trial. We want to be well and healthy and strong and be able to do the things we've ever done. But sometimes the Lord visits his people and brings these things upon them. What's the reason? Because the Lord hates his people? No, because he loves them. And he loves them that he will maintain them and preserve them all their days. But when the Lord is pleased to sanctify our trials to us, it is then that we see the blessing and not before. Whilst we look upon it as an endurance, something that we have to bear, then there is no pleasure, no comfort in it. But when the Lord is pleased to show us the purpose of his dealings in our lives, then it is for the strengthening of our faith. You know, by nature, we have no faith. And often the child of God complains of his little faith, as the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And can we criticize the Lord's disciples when we know that we are exactly the same or even worse? Our faith is feeble. We have to confess it. But the Lord is able to give us more faith. And it should be our continual prayer. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to trust thee more and more. Help me to realize that everything that thou dost for my eternal profit. And so as we look upon these afflictions, bodily afflictions, afflictions of the mind, temptations that often come upon a child of God, and what is a temptation to you may not be to me, and what is a temptation to me may not be a temptation to you. We all know, and the devil surely understands our weaknesses and brings these temptations to bear. I remember thee. The Lord remembers his people at all times. He knows all that they are passing through. He understands. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. We are but poor things in and of ourselves. And all this really to bring us into greater dependence upon himself. We want to be independent. This is our very nature. You see this in a little child. It wants its independence. It wants to run away. It wants to do its own thing, as they say. You see that very early in the trait of a child. And that is ever with us. We want to have control. We want to be our own masters. And it is a hard lesson at times to understand that we have to be submissive. We have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due season, casting all our cares upon him, knowing that he careth for us. I remember thee. And so we can trust in him, that he remembers us. There may be troubles in the family. There may be troubles in the business. There may be troubles in the church. And sometimes these are the worst of troubles. But I remember thee. The Lord remembers the pathway of his people. These things are not unknown to him. We tend to think that God doesn't understand. And you hear people sometimes say, "No one understands me. No, another individual cannot understand the depths of the trials that sometimes we have to pass through. We cannot share it even to our nearest and dearest. These things are peculiarly laid upon us alone. But the Lord understands. The Lord knows. And the Lord is our great deliverer. We have to, as I said before, wait upon his time. Wait to see his purposes fulfilled. And that affliction, that sickness, that weakness of body may never be taken from us. We may have to endure it throughout all the days of our lives. But what did the Lord say to Paul when he had his trouble in the flesh? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So that the apostle could say, when I am weak, then am I strong. It is a Christian's paradox. The world cannot understand these things. They cannot enter in. They cannot sympathize with the child of God. But we have one to whom we can go. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins. He is that great peacemaker. Peace by his cross has Jesus made, the church's ever-living head. He lives ever to intercede on the behalf of his people. We can lay our cases before him. As Hezekiah, when he had that awful letter come, he entered into the temple of God. He laid it out before the Lord. He prayed the Lord's help. His dependence was upon his God. We need to have our dependence fixed upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember thee. Oh, may we have these words, as it were, ringing in our ears. May we have them upon our thoughts as life's journey goes on. In those times which seem to be such dark times, there seems to be no end to the tunnel. Yet round the corner, as it were, the Lord has a glorious light. The glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shining into the poor sinner's heart. Ah, here we find our comfort. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I remember thee, even in those times when we forget him to our shame, yet he remembers us. And it is a great comfort, surely, to know I remember thee. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £695, for which we are very thankful. Our friend Mr. Pickett hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Wednesday evening and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. And now, just to draw your attention to the fact there's a notice on the board about the proposed Christian secondary school and their need for help to fund their bid. There are two meetings tomorrow evening if anyone is interested in knowing more about it. Let us close with hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense, I to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and remain with us, now and forevermore. Amen.